Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning at verse 4. Again, 1 Kings chapter 3, starting at verse 4. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. Verses 4 through 15, 1 Kings chapter 3. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have, like Solomon, of being able to come to you every day of our lives and ask you for wisdom, a gift that comes straight from you, from your heart, and from your mind. Lord, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of wisdom. Help us to be a people that are wise enough to seek your wisdom in prayer every single day. Help us to live so that we're wise enough to seek your wisdom through your word every day. And help us to be wise enough to seek your will through our obedience to your word each and every day. Help us to in a much greater way value the wonderful gift of wisdom that you give to us through your word and your spirit. And help us to pursue walking in more and more of your wisdom every single day. And help us to recognize, Lord, that you and your grace and mercy, when you give us wisdom, we're able to discern your will and to walk in it, and thereby walk in victory and in grace in every circumstance. More and more, help us to be a people that live a life where we're continually seeking you and your wisdom each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. I want to remind you that our Share-a-thon gets under this week, and we ask that you would pray for just every day throughout this week for the Lord to anoint the Share-a-thon, to flow mightily through it, and to do a mighty work in the heart of every single listener to accomplish his perfect will in the heart and life of every listener as they listen to and participate in the Share-a-thon. So if you'll pray with us and follow along with us during Share-a-thon, we certainly hope that you'll do just that. We invite you to look in the Word of God as we, today specifically, we're looking at the topic of the wisdom of pursuing wisdom. And let me explain that. You know, the fact is, whether we realize it or not, the Bible is a book full of wisdom. You know, typically we think of the book of Proverbs as being a book of wisdom, and certainly it is. But the whole Bible is a book of wisdom. It's the word and the will of God. The key word, of course, in the book of Proverbs is the word wisdom. And wisdom could be defined, and actually there are many definitions, many ways you can define wisdom, but wisdom could be defined as the ability to live life skillfully. Wisdom is having knowledge and knowing how to use it most productively as well. So keep in mind, knowledge by itself is not wisdom by any means. Knowledge is knowledge, but wisdom is both having knowledge and knowing how to use it most productively and skillfully. In order to live a godly life in an ungodly world, it's not a simple assignment. And so we really need the wisdom of God, the grace of God, and the insight of God to know how to live life wisely, skillfully, and in a way where we'll be most fruitful. So the book of Proverbs specifically provides God's detailed instructions for his people to deal successfully in different practical everyday affairs as well as life as a whole. So obviously, as we look at the topic of the wisdom of pursuing wisdom, we'll be looking in the book of Proverbs, but that's not the only place that we'll look, obviously, because all of the Word of God, as I said, is a book of wisdom. And it's important that we're wise enough to discern that and to recognize that the wisest people in the world are people who are rooted in the Word of God, who are diligent students of God's Word and are wise enough to pursue the wisdom of God through His Word each and every day. And not only to pursue learning it, but to walk it out as well. It's very important that we discern and understand that. So I'm reminded of this fact too. Everybody needs the wisdom of God. Whether they realize it or not, all men, all women, all boys and girls as well. And parents, one of our responsibilities in life is, of course, to help our children to come to acquire the wisdom of God and to learn how to walk in it as well. You know, the fact is, obviously, children in and of themselves need a lot of wisdom, but the reality is all adults, men and women, we need a lot of wisdom as well. I'm reminded of a story about a little girl who she decided she wanted to pass on some wisdom to her sisters. The little girl was about 9 or 10, and her sisters were young, just a little bit younger than her. And so her wisdom to her little sisters were, when mommy is mad at daddy, don't let her brush your hair. Well, I imagine that's some pretty vital wisdom for little girls to be mindful of. So I think of, too, the story of a little boy who had gone to a picnic, and he'd learned some important life lessons about his dog. And his wisdom to share with some of his buddies who had dogs were, if you go to a picnic, no matter how much your dog loves you, don't trust him to guard your food when you have to leave. Well, again, wisdom for little boys with their little dogs, even if their dogs love them. Well, the reality is, again, wisdom is critical for all of us in every circumstance, in every situation. And so as we think of the passage that I read from 1 Kings chapter 3 about Solomon, there's a lot in that chapter that all of us can learn from as we simply pay attention to it. God, by his grace, steps into Solomon's dream. Now notice, Solomon has spent much time worshiping God, has offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. And it greatly pleased the Lord. And so God stepped into Solomon's dream. And God said to Solomon, he asked him the question, basically laid before him what you might call a blank check. Ask whatever you want, Solomon. What can I give you? But Solomon, by the grace of God, was wise enough to ask for something that greatly pleased the Lord. Just in a nutshell, Solomon asked God, Lord, give me the wisdom to be the king you want me to be, to lead and to serve your people Israel. And God was very pleased with that request, so much so that he let him know, Solomon, I'm not only going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you riches as well, because you were wise enough to ask for something that honors me and that pleases me as well. And so God blessed him with great wisdom and great riches as well. Well, you and I would be wise to do as Solomon did actually every single day. Every day we're wise to go to God in prayer, begin your day early in the morning in prayer and ask God, Lord, give me wisdom for the day to honor you, to know what you want me to do, what you're calling me to do this day. Give me wisdom to know how to interact wisely with my family, with the people I work with, the people I go to school with. Why do we need to ask for wisdom for these kinds of things? Because we need it. We really do need it. And even if we're wise individuals in and of ourselves, the fact is, God has more wisdom to give us, and if we're wise, we'll go after it. Wise people run after wisdom. There's great wisdom in pursuing more wisdom because God always has more to give you. No matter how skillfully or gifted you are at doing your job, if you're wise enough to pray and ask God to give you wisdom to be better at your job, do you know God is able to give it to you? And we all would be wise to pursue that. So as we're looking in God's Word again, we're looking at the topic of the wisdom of pursuing wisdom. I want to encourage you to start the habit of every single day, one of the things you pray for in your prayer time, ask God to give you wisdom for your day to accomplish all He wants you to accomplish. Let's take a moment to pray now. Father, thank you, Lord, for every single believer listening. Thank you for each person that's a part of our listening family. Thank you for the opportunity you blessed us with, you that you give us daily to be able to come to you in prayer and the opportunity daily to seek your wisdom. Lord, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of wisdom. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that would help us to be diligent about seeking your wisdom every single day. And help us to continually recognize the great need we have for your wisdom in order to maximize the productivity of our lives. Help us to do that every single day for your glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So as we're looking at the topic again, our topic today is the wisdom of pursuing wisdom. Remember, the Bible is a book full of wisdom, but Proverbs in particular is a book that focuses on wisdom as a key in and of itself for us to pursue. So as we look in Proverbs, we're looking at Proverbs chapter 1 to begin with. Proverbs chapter 1, starting at verse 1, it says these words, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for there will be a grace, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." That was verses 1 through 9 of Proverbs chapter 1. And notice how Proverbs itself, both this chapter in Proverbs chapter 1, but also not only is it introducing the topic of wisdom in the first chapter, it's introducing the topic of wisdom for the whole book of Proverbs as well. And note this, it's Proverbs or little sayings of wisdom about practical small things in life, but also big things in life. And remember, we need God's wisdom for everything. You know, the Bible lets us know God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. One very important act of humility is to recognize that we really need a lot of wisdom. Keep in mind, it's pride and it's a foolish approach to life to think, well, I know what I need to know already. But sadly, too often, as men and women, we operate as if we do know how we need to carry ourselves, what we need to do in life, what our priorities, what our goals need to be. By ourselves, we need a lot of help. By ourselves, we're in big trouble if we don't seek God for wisdom. And keep in mind, Solomon was a very wise king. Now, he made some big mistakes too, but he was basically a wise king. But now, the wisest person that ever walked the earth was, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. He lived a life full of wisdom. But keep in mind, one key characteristic of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ as he lived out his earthly ministry was he walked in great humility. And understand this, the wisest life you and I can possibly live is a life where we walk in extreme humility, and it's important that we understand what humility is. Humility is submitting fully to the Word and the Spirit of God. And we'll share more on the other side. But we're looking today at the topic, the wisdom of pursuing wisdom. We'll be right back after this break.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light? hide from getting through.
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
We do.
Is all creation groaning?
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move? And is Jesus our Messiah, hold forever those he loved? Does our God intend to dwell again with us? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole?
Music of Andrew Peterson, the song Is He Worthy? Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic of the wisdom of pursuing wisdom. And I want to just start out this segment challenging you once again, as I often do. If you don't have the habit of reading three chapters in your Bible every day, today is an excellent day to start that very important habit. As we mentioned earlier, the Bible is a book full of wisdom from Genesis to Revelation. All of it's a book of wisdom from the mind and the heart of God. It's a book that'll bless your socks off if you get into it every single day. And it's a tragedy that so many people don't see why it needs to be a top priority in our lives. Remember, when you're reading the Word of God, you're spending time one-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ, one-on-one with the Creator of the universe. You're spending time one-on-one with a God who is busy dealing with millions and millions of people all over the world, but he'll take all the time with you that you will spend with him. how foolish it is for me to decide I'm just too busy. I don't have time to talk to my Heavenly Father and my Creator. If we're wise, this will be a top priority every single day of our lives. I'm reminded of in the book of Psalms, Psalm 14, verse 1 tells us, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none who does good." Now, keep in mind, there are many people who would say, I'm not a fool because I believe in God. But, you know, it's good to believe in God. It's good for us to know and walk with God. But keep in mind, even though we can be believers, all of us have the potential to act foolishly by neglecting to seek God, to seek Him in His Word, by hearing and walking in the wisdom of His Word. So keep in mind, obviously we need to avoid walking in the way of a fool, but it's important to understand that, again, we can act foolishly if we disobey the Word of God, or if we discount the Word of God, or if we don't look to the Word of God for the wisdom, the guidance, the counsel we need each and every day. Looking once again in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, keep in mind, picking up at verse 10, I want you to keep in mind this very important truth that it's important to understand this. Sin is foolish. Sin can be crazy. Sin can lead people to do crazy things. Sin can lead people to do stupid things, things that are not in their best interest. In fact, things that can hurt, hinder, or actually things that can destroy them, because ultimately sin will kill a person that refuses to reject it and turn from it. Ultimately, sin will kill you. So it's important that we take seriously the fact that throughout the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, that's one of the powerful messages. Sin leads to death. One way or another, sooner or later, sin always leads to death. So we're wise to avoid it. So one of the messages of the book of Proverbs, certainly as it relates to the topic of sin, is that keep in mind, Proverbs clearly lets us know sin is foolish. Sin can be crazy. Sin is stupid. And to walk in sin is to walk in stupidity as well. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. And keep in mind, you know, as we use these words, often the words fool and stupid are considered insults, and understandably so. But keep in mind, they're also words with definitions. A fool is one who basically says there is no God. Or a fool is someone who completely rejects God and His wisdom. But also, a fool walks in foolishness. What's another word for foolishness? Stupidity. And so it's important to understand this. When people walk in sin, they're walking in foolishness. They're walking in stupidity. So the words Proverbs use are not meant to be insults. They're words of statements of fact, statements of reality as well. Proverbs chapter 1, picking up at verse 10. "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners." Again, that was verses 10 through 19 of Proverbs chapter 1. Now, keep in mind here, a parent is wise enough in this case to talk to his child about staying away from gangs and from organizations that walk in corrupt ways, that are deceitful in the way they take and abuse and misuse people. And obviously, a gang is one of many different kinds of organizations or institutions people can be a part of. Well, one of the points is this. If the people that you're joining with are deceitful, they're untruthful, and can't be trusted, and therefore try to hurt and devour people, what makes you think they will be loyal and that you can trust them either? What makes you think they won't turn around and deceive you and kill you like they killed the people that became their victims? So the parent is wise enough to say to his or her son or her child, stay away from wicked people, wicked organizations, wicked associations as well. This proverb 1 goes on to say in verse 20, it says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises a voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Verses 20 through 23. Now, notice it refers to wisdom as being a person. And basically, it's indicating that wisdom is calling all the time, continually calling and inviting people to come and receive of that which wisdom has to offer, the wisdom, the grace, the insight, the understanding. Verse 22, again, reading it says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Now, note this, the word simple is a nice word, but it's a nice way of saying the word stupid, okay? So another way of saying that verse is, how long, you stupid ones, will you love stupidity? Now, that may sound harsh. It might sound like an insult, but the reality is that's exactly what it's saying. It's basically saying, hey, stupid, how long are you going to stay stupid? Well, sin is stupid. Sin is foolishness. Sin is that which will destroy you. And so the Word of God wants you to understand, seek God's wisdom, seek God's insight, seek God's understanding, and you don't have to walk in foolishness. You don't have to walk in stupidity. You don't have to walk in destructive ways that will destroy you and those around you. Seek God's wisdom. It'll bless you. It'll help you in every area of your life. And understand this, God, in his grace and by his Spirit, is calling us every day. Read my word, because I have the wisdom you need to live a successful life. I have the wisdom that will help you to be the right kind of man, the right kind of woman, the right kind of husband, the right kind of wife, the right kind of parent, the right kind of grandparent, the right kind of employer, the right kind of employee. Seek my wisdom through my word and in prayer, and God will be glad to give it to you. Wisdom is that which helps us to be successful in life and to live life correctly in a way that we honor the Lord as well. Again, a definition of wisdom is the ability to live life skillfully and most productively. We're wise to pursue wisdom in every area of our lives. I would encourage you to make it a goal to live that way daily. And keep in mind, it's really a simple process. Seek God in his word and seek his wisdom in his word and seek wisdom in prayer as well. I'm reminded of a story of a young man that lived along the border of a restrictive country. And one day he rode a bicycle up and he had a bag of sand on his shoulder. And there were about 5 border guards at the border crossing. They stopped him and said, stop, kid, we have to check you to be sure you're not sneaking anything across the border. Well, he stops, gets off his bike, and they ask for the bag of sand on his shoulder. He takes it off, hands it to them. They reach in the bag, dig through it, find nothing but sand. They say, here, kid, take your bag, go on across the border. He hops on his bike and heads across. Well, the next day he comes once again. Once again, he has a sack on his shoulder. The border guards once again stop him. Stop, kid, we have to check you. Be sure you're not sneaking anything across the border. They check him once again. They dig through his bag of sand. Once again, find nothing but sand. Here, kid, take your bag going across the border. When the young man pulls on across the border, one of the guards says, this kid is sneaking something across the border. I don't know what it is, but if he comes back a third day, we're going to catch him. Well, sure enough, he comes the third day. And once again, stop, kid, we have to check you. Be sure you're not sneaking anything across the border. Once again, he hands them his bag of sand. This time they take it into their office, pour out the sand on their desk, sift through it, find nothing but sand. They scoop it back up, put it back in his bag. Here, kid, take your bag going across the border. Now the 5 guards are very, very angry. They're angry at themselves. They're angry at the boy. They're angry at the bag of sand because they know, they feel sure he's sneaking something across the border, but they haven't figured out what it is. Well, he comes back a 4th day, a 5th day, and every day the guards are getting angrier and angrier and more perturbed. Every day they check the bag of sand and find nothing. And he continues for 2 weeks, for 3 weeks. And after four weeks of coming each day across, he finally stops coming. And the guards were just fuming mad because they never figured out what it was he was sneaking across the border. Well, one day one of the guards sees a young man, and he's off duty, and he sees a young man in a fast food place eating a hamburger. He steps in and says, hey, kid, remember me? I'm one of the guards that used to check you when you were coming across the border. Now, I'm not going to mess with you, but we were racking our brains. We were trying to figure out what you were sneaking across the border. We know you're sneaking something. Like I say, we're not going to mess with you, but we just want to know, what were you sneaking across the border? And the young man looked at him, stopped eating his hamburger, set it down, and he smiled real big. He said, bicycles. Every day, the guards were so caught up in looking at the bag of sand, they didn't realize it was simply a decoy the young man was using. Every day, he rode a different bicycle across the border, and the guards never, ever picked up on it. Now, what's the point to the story? The fact is, again, the answer to their what they were racking their brains over was actually very simple, but they were distracted. They weren't looking at what would have given them the answer. They would have noticed if they'd watched more closely, he was riding a different bicycle every single day. Often, many of the most important answers in life are very simple. If we would simply seek them from the wonderful book of wisdom, the Word of God. God's Word has answers to every problem. In direct statement or in principle, God's Word is the answer to every problem, every difficulty, every challenge in life. We need to be people that seek God's wisdom diligently in His Word and through prayer. We're looking at the topic of the wisdom of pursuing wisdom. We'll be right back. Music of Jennifer Miko, the song Great God. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, we want to remind you, please take time to pray with us as our fall share-a-thon gets underway. We very much desire your prayers, and if you're able to call in and be a part, we certainly hope that you'll do that this week. Tuesday through Thursday of this week is our fall share-a-thon. Again, today we're looking at the topic of the wisdom of pursuing wisdom. And keep in mind, obviously the book of Proverbs is a book full of wisdom. But remember, all of the Word of God is the wisdom of God. And remember, the wisdom of God is the will of God. Do you want to know the will of God in your life? Well, the Bible has much wisdom and insight to help you discern God's will for your life as you read and meditate on the Word of God. And also keep in mind, as you seek God in prayer, the Spirit of God can fill in the gaps. You know, I think of this, for example. It's important to know God, in His grace and His mercy, He's given us His Word, and much of His will for our lives is found in His Word. But, you know, there are many other areas in your life where you need the wisdom and the guidance of God, where the Bible may not be nearly as specific in ways that you need guidance for. For example, the Bible doesn't say, thou, John Jones, shall marry Susie Q and move to Cincinnati and become an engineer. It's not that specific in our lives, but you know, when you spend time reading and meditating on the Word of God, it gives you the wisdom of God, and also it causes the voice of the Holy Spirit to get louder in your life, to where as you seek God in prayer, God is able to help you determine how to make wise decisions in your life that line up with His will. So you're able to come to know the will of God in every area of your life as you seek Him in prayer as well as in the Word of God. So if you need wisdom about what He wants you to do, what He's calling you to do, what He's directing you to do, go to the Word of God. It'll help you tremendously in these regards. You know, in the book of Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5, in those two places you find the Ten Commandments in their entirety in both places. And keep in mind, the Ten Commandments are 10 rules or 10 guidelines for wisdom as well. Now, sometimes we may not specifically mention them as such, but it's important to understand, as I said, all of the Word of God is the wisdom of God. Remember, the wisdom of God is the will of God. And remember, the wisdom and the will of God is good for you. It's good for you spiritually. It's good for you mentally. It's good for you emotionally. It's good for you physically. It's good for your physical health. God's Word, in fact, in Proverbs chapter 4, it speaks of God's Word as being medicine to your body. So it's important to understand God's Word is a book of wisdom, and that's one more reason why you and I would be very, very wise to be diligent students of His Word. Again, I would challenge you to read at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. But in addition to reading the Word, I would encourage you to get some kind of audio Bible where you can listen to the Word of God as you drive in your vehicle, maybe as you get up in the morning getting ready to go to work or to school, or as you're getting ready to go to bed at night, listening to the wisdom of God, which is His Word. It'll bless your life in many ways. The reading of God's Word begins to bring healing and grace to bear upon your life. Also, it gives you insight about how to live skillfully, wisely, and most productively as well. Well, the Ten Commandments, again, as you read them and obey them, they bless your life. In fact, remember this, obedience, every act of obedience is followed by an outpouring of grace in your life. You know, I like to remind believers of this truth. John Wesley, the great servant of the Lord of years ago, his word for spiritual habits was means of grace. Now, I want you to think about that. Now, you may not hear that term much, but actually it's a wonderful definition and a much more colorful definition of what spiritual habits are. These are habits that help us draw closer to God, to grow strong in the Lord. But amongst other things, these spiritual habits, they cause grace to pour into your life in greater measure. Now, remember, you cannot earn grace, nor do you deserve grace. But God, because He sent His Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, into the world, Christ lived. He died on the cross to pay for our sins and rose again from the dead 3 days later. He made the ocean of God's grace abundantly available to all of us. But it's up to us how much we draw on that grace, that ocean of God's grace He has made available. And so as we put these spiritual habits to work in our lives, it causes the grace of God to pour into our lives in greater measure. So again, John Wesley's term is a wonderful term that you really should pay attention to. These are means of grace. What are the means of grace? Time in the Word of God, that is a means of grace. Your time in prayer, that is a means of grace. Your obedience to the Word of God, that's a means of grace. These are the things you can do to cause the grace of God to pour into your life in greater measure. To walk in the love of God towards people, to give of yourself, to bless people, worshiping God and spending time with God, taking part in communion, all of these are means of grace. Again, you cannot earn grace. Jesus has already abundantly supplied it, but we can do things to cause it to pour into our lives in greater measure. So I would challenge and encourage you to do these things. Pray the Ten Commandments every day, because that's a very wise thing to do. And remember, as you hear and obey the Ten Commandments, you're walking in the wisdom of God, which will cause the grace of God to pour into your life in greater measure. Another word for grace is favor. Do you want more of the favor of God in your life? Spend time in the Word of God. It causes the favor of God to pour into your life in greater measure. Again, grace and favor are the same thing. And so certainly you cannot earn it. But again, there are things you can do to cause it to pour into your life in greater measure. I would challenge and encourage you to do that. Let's pray the Ten Commandments now. Dear Lord, thank You for today. Help us today, Lord, to put You first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take Your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us, Lord, to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth, and help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Remember, there's great wisdom behind every commandment. And as we read the commandments and as we pray and ask God to help us to keep them, there's great wisdom in doing that, because as you do them, they will bless your life tremendously and make you a greater blessing in the world. All the problems in our world are a result of people breaking and not listening to the wisdom behind each of the Ten Commandments. You can look at all the headlines in the paper or on the news today. They're all a result of people disobeying and not walking in the wisdom of God, which is the will of God in the world. Make it your goal to pray the Ten Commandments every day. That's a very wise thing for you to do. And parents, help your children to pray them each and every day as well. That's a wise thing for every parent to do as well. Our time is almost gone, but keep in mind, my challenge to you is, as we've been looking at the topic of the wisdom of pursuing wisdom, is keep in mind, don't see it as a burden, but see it as a great privilege and opportunity, because the wisdom of God will bless your life tremendously as you receive it and walk in it. And remember, God has given us a book full of wisdom, the book we call the Word of God, the written Word of God, the Bible. So pursue His wisdom every day, and also every day ask God for wisdom to help you be more fruitful in life. Keep in mind, in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35, once again, we look at the wonderful role model our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was and is to us. In Mark 1:35, it says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Who is he? That's referring to Jesus. Jesus had a prayer life that was very consistent and very diligent. He had the habit of getting up early in the morning and going out and seeking God's wisdom, God's guidance, God's direction for his day. And remember, much of what Jesus did in his life, many of the things that Jesus did, you and I can do as well. Now, obviously, Jesus was the only one that could die on the cross to pay for our sins and rise again from the dead to make a way for us to be saved. No one else could have done that but Jesus. But on the other hand, there are many other things that Jesus did, which he fully intended for us to do. He calls us all to be witnesses for him. He calls us all to be involved in the work of building God's kingdom. He calls us to love people. He calls us to be kind. He calls us to be givers. And so keep in mind, his prayer life we can learn from as well. Jesus was very diligent to get up early in the morning, every morning, and seek God's wisdom, guidance, and grace. You know, you and I would be wise to get up early in the morning and seek God's wisdom for the day as well, specifically praying, "Lord, give me wisdom for today. Help me to discern your will and help me to fulfill all your call upon my life today. In Jesus' name, amen." That can be a short prayer, but a wise prayer to pray each and every day. The scripture I quote daily at the beginning of this broadcast is Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. "Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." May we be wise enough to seek his wisdom daily. I like to share about the wonderful example in one of the great people in the history of our nation, Dr. George Washington Carver. He was a great inventor. He was a great discoverer. He was a great professor. But also, what sometimes, very often, the history books miss is Dr. George Washington Carver was a great man of prayer. He was a well-known scientist. He was actually born a slave, but he was credited with saving the agriculture of the South. He's a great example of a believer who listened and communed with God and sought him for wisdom and sought him for answers to challenges and problems in his life. I want to share with you something that he said. Now, keep in mind, he would rise up early in the morning, a lot like Jesus, and he'd go out into the woods and he'd talk to God. In fact, he called God Mr. Creator. And there in the woods, the Lord would talk to God, ask him questions, and God gave him some of the great secrets of the universe as he spent time asking him for the wisdom to understand the world around him. In the book called The Man Who Talks with the Flowers by Glenn Park, Dr. Carver made this statement. He said, "There's literally nothing I ever wanted to do that I asked the blessed Creator to help me to do that I've not been able to accomplish. It's all very simple if one knows how to talk with the Creator. It is simply seeking the Lord and finding him. All my life, I've risen regularly at 4 o'clock and have gone into the woods and talked with God. There he gives me my orders for the day. When people are still asleep, I hear God best, and I learn my plan. After my morning's talk with God, I go into my laboratory and begin to carry out his wishes for the day. And God again used Dr. George Washington Carver to bless the world with his wisdom. He invented hundreds of items. He discovered hundreds of different ways to use the peanut, hundreds of different ways to use the sweet potato. How? Yes, God gave him wisdom and grace, but he asked God for the wisdom to find out what he could do with some things, and God gave him that wisdom. You know, any and all of us can go to God every day and ask him for wisdom to help us to be better at the job that we do. And you know, there's a lot of wisdom God is ready to give any believer that will ask him and seek him for it. Now, don't make the mistake of thinking, well, I'm smart enough already. Any human being that would say that is being very, very foolish. We all need more wisdom. We need the wisdom that God can give us to help us to be better men and women, better fathers and mothers, better husbands and wives, better grandfathers, grandmothers. We all need the wisdom of God. Lord, thank you for the opportunity you give us in seeking your wisdom in your word. Help us to be wise enough to make this one of the great goals of our lives, to become diligent students of your word, seeking your wisdom in your word each and every day. And help us to be wise enough to seek your wisdom in prayer. Help us, like Solomon, to recognize that we need a lot of help. We need a lot of wisdom. We need a lot of grace to help us to be all that we can be. Lord, we're trusting you to help us to seek your wisdom every single day, to excel in life, to glorify you and to serve you, and to fulfill all your call on our lives. Guide us so that daily we'll not only do this, but help us to teach and train our children to seek you for wisdom and guidance and grace, to be all that you would have them to be in life as well. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've looked at the topic, the wisdom of pursuing wisdom. I hope that you'll make it your goal to spend time in God's Word every day seeking his wisdom, and spend time every day asking God for wisdom for the day and wisdom for the rest of your life as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.